Well, welcome everybody to the call. We're very excited for Dave to take over today. I know he's got some great information to share with us. Dave, are you ready to go?
I am all ready to go. Thank you so much, Chase.
You're very welcome.
Thanks for leading out tonight, and thanks for all that you do in our office to make things run so smoothly. It's great to be with you tonight. Last 2 weeks, we've been talking about intentional creation. Bear with me just for a moment. I'm going to turn those chimes off. Excellent. We've been talking about intrinsic validation and the importance of seeing another person and stepping into their world and acknowledging their right to be on this planet, unconditionally accepting them as a human being, serving them, creating a safe place where there's no need for a wall of resistance due to their suspicion or hate from past experiences, having that wall come down, that cooperation and productivity flood out to us, and also for us to be able to embrace our divine nature, which is to truly care about other people. We discussed early on 2 weeks ago that as a society, we are beginning to become terribly disconnected from the earbuds to the text messages. Now, those are all great technologies and have their place, but when they start to impede on our natural gifts as human beings and our natural physiology in terms of connection, it becomes somewhat of a tragedy. Because when that occurs in our lives, we become very isolated, even though we're walking in a crowd. We can be very lonely in a marriage. We can feel like we're different or not valued. And so many people express these feelings as if the world would somehow change for us. The real mission is that we change for the world. We recognize that the greatest secret of success in all ventures is to be able to step outside of our own cocoon, our own wall, and to start building bridges to other people so that our love, our agape love, our heightened level of awareness can enter their soul. And when it enters their soul, they can in turn take down walls of hate and suspicion which have been built around other people's hearts. In his place, build a bridge so that their love can enter their soul. This is a great way to live. Now, I'm not suggesting that we are going to be here all the time. We have a lot going on in our lives. This is a very complex time in history. But I can tell you that the more frequently we are in this space, the more frequently we're making difficult decisions about other people based on putting ourselves into their shoes, the more peaceful our lives will be. We can, as Og says, melt all hearts, liken them to the sun whose rays soften the coldest clay. And I'm glad he didn't say, melt the coldest hearts. He said, all hearts, liken the sun whose rays soften the coldest clay, because typically, normally, usually, when we give someone else enough love that they cannot deny that we truly care about them as a human being, and their heart is softened, and we're able to glimpse inside their world, we generally find some things we did not know. Some things that help us to be even more compassionate and understanding. It's like, oh, that's why. I thought it was me. I thought I was doing something. And most of the time it's their life circumstances that are causing them to act or react in certain ways. Oh, what a gift we give to ourselves and to others when we practice this principle of intrinsic validation. Now, we've had a week to see what's important to people, then to verbalize it. It's so fun to watch somebody smile when you mention something like that to them or you acknowledge them. We've had a week to listen for doors and to step into someone's world, to create a safe place, to try on their dreams, to see how they fit, whether we really can feel comfortable about sharing what it is we would like to share or sell or advice that we would want to give. And then is it the right time? And then gaining agreement to share and knowing that we're not racing through this process. Wonderful woman I was talking to this afternoon, Crystal, was saying that isn't it interesting how we can sometimes race through all of these steps to get to the point where it's our turn to talk. And intrinsic validation, it's never our turn. We don't want to turn. Even when we go to share, when there's agreement, if we hear a door, we step right back into their world. Because when their walls truly come down, we are the beneficiaries of the cooperation and productivity. As we do so, our divine nature awakens and our self-esteem is healed. We get all the benefit. And the person feels so honored and so validated because we cared enough to listen. And yet, in truth, we're often the one who gains the most from having given. Isn't that interesting? We want to find ourselves. This is how we find ourselves, by stepping into the world of another person. We don't find ourselves by peeling away the onion and going deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into this very black hole. We find ourselves in the service of others. That's when our true character shows up, our true divine nature. Well, this evening, we were going to open this up and have you share some of the experiences you've had in the last week. There isn't an experience too small or too big. We want to have you share with us what's happening as you're experiencing these principles in your life. So who would like to come out first this evening?
Dave, I will. It's Eileen.
Hi, Eileen.
Hi, Dave.
Now, Eileen, I'm going to do something. I'm going to put this on mute, and then if you would press *6 right after I do it and come back out, and okay. That way we can have each person come this way, and we keep the recording very clean. So bear with me just a moment. Okay, Eileen, just press *6, and you'll be off of mute.
Okay, I think
there
I'm
you
on.
Are. Oh, okay. I can hear you so much better. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. This week at work, at the hospital, there was a patient. I could tell he was really miffed just by looking at him. He had this look about him. He was just stewing. And I started talking with him, and he expressed to me how unhappy he was with what he thought was fair as far as the way he was treated for, you know, getting into his appointment and getting his needs taken care of. And I started asking him questions, and he said, well, he was an administrator for like 30 years, and this never happened in his world. It was like you gave somebody an appointment and you stood by your word. And if you wasn't going to be that way, you'd tell them when exactly their appointment would be. And so I said, well, you know, this particular situation, they said, well, how would you have handled that? And so he really opened up and shared with me how he would have handled it. And he mentioned to me that I tried to appease everybody and that really wasn't working. And I, you know, it was kind of hard for me to hear, but I did thank him. I said, I'm sorry that this happened, and I took what he had to say, and I truly thanked him for it. And I think I learned a lot, and I think he went away feeling validated.
Did you ask him for the ice cream cone back?
What do you mean?
He said, you're trying to appease everyone. Okay, then give me back the ice cream cone.
Oh,
I'm just teasing.
No.
I'm just teasing. Yeah. Isn't that an interesting discovery?
Yeah.
That what we sometimes think is validation, trying to placate everybody and make them feel comfortable, mm-hmm. really isn't what some people need. They just need to be heard.
Yeah.
Way to be, Eileen.
Thank you.
And congratulations on the way you're handling your life.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Eileen has a husband who's had a stroke and has just put a tremendous responsibility on her, and it's just, it is amazing. amazing to watch her stamina. So, Eileen, whenever I start to think about my challenges, I think about yours, and I'm happy for mine. Well, thank you.
I do that with other people, too. I know what you mean. Thank you.
You're welcome. Who else would like to come out this evening? Just press star 6 and just say Dave, and I'll acknowledge you.
Dave, Sebastian.
Yes. Who is this, please?
Sebastian.
Oh, hi, Sebastian.
How are you?
I am doing really well this evening.
Good.
Thank
I'm glad to be back on your call.
Well, okay. Share with us your experience this week.
Yes. I'll just come back a couple of weeks ago just to give you a background. I had a meeting here. We have a co-op, which is our grocery store here. And we had a meeting in town about the annual meeting where the board and the manager of the co-op was presenting to us, the members, which is basically almost all the town, the results of the last year and what they did and etc. And I've observed during this meeting lots of opportunity for intrinsic validation, but it wasn't the case at all. Actually, the members were more in attacking mode to the board and the manager, even though the results were good and everything was up, but they had to take some tough decisions in town, and all the members, all the participants in this meeting, they were all focusing on the finding the failure, finding what they should have done differently, instead of just at least say a big thank you to them. And the manager, which is a very good person, and he had worked very hard, and he had done a very good job. He was there, and he was trying to answer all the questions, and more he was trying to answer, and more they are arguing harder. I've seen this kind of throwing arrows, like you said in your when you were describing the scroll number two, I think. So I was there, and I was observing all that, and I thought that, well, I had to do an intervention during this meeting because I had a point about the plastic bags to be replaced by reusable bag. And when I went to the front, I just said thank you to the board and the manager in front of everybody, just to say to them that I was acknowledging the good job that they did. And also I thought that I would go to see this manager at the co-op in a later day, just to thank him personally. And I had to go to the co-op on Friday. I didn't go, but I was planning to go on Monday and to see this manager. I had the business to do with him. And he died on Saturday from a heart attack.
Oh, my.
So, that's unfortunate for, and that's sad. Of course, that's sad. And I don't know the background of this gentleman, but he was maybe early 50, and during this meeting, he was pretty stressed out, and he was turning red, and I don't know, I think he was dealing with a big amount of stress. And 2 days ago, I was supposed to switch to scroll number 8 in my study of the 10 scrolls, but I decided to do scroll number 9 instead, because in my life now, I have to focus on act now. And act now means I should have went to see this manager before and to be able to say to him my personal thank you for the job that he did, but unfortunately he died on Saturday, so that's kind of a... So yeah, and I don't know if we can relate the fact that he was not able to deal with the stress and be able to do intrinsic validation with those people, and instead of trying to answer to answer those questions just to try to understand them, but that would have been a very difficult task. But we cannot relate only about that also, because to explain his death of from a heart attack, but from a perspective that I've read or listened, a heart attack, it's commonly linked to overstress, or could be something else as well.
Mm-hmm.
So,
is he married?
Yes, he has two children, I think. He has been here in this town for 12 years, I think.
What could you do to intrinsically validate him at this point?
I don't know if he will be exposed here in town. I haven't heard of that yet, but it's kind of fresh, so I still can go to see him, even if he will be exposed, to say to him that I thank for that, and if I have an opportunity to talk, to acknowledge that. I suppose that would be the last thing that I could do for him.
Do you think that when he left that meeting, that he may have discussed his disappointment with his wife?
I hope.
Probably so. But how do you think she's feeling right now?
She's probably under shock.
Yeah. Lost a husband who's young, two children, and left with a hard year of work unappreciated.
Yeah.
What kind of sacrifices do you think he made during this last year that impacted his family?
Yeah, I agree.
How could you intrinsically validate him and bless his family at this point?
To go to see his wife and tell to his wife that I truly think that he did a very good job last year.
Would you be open to a suggestion?
Sure.
At times like this, sometimes visits are painful.
Yeah.
But handwritten notes are appreciated.
Maybe with flowers.
I want you to envision maybe some flowers and a letter. I was at the meeting last week, and I felt prompted to stand up and say thank you, and I wish I would have said more. Because this is what I was feeling. This is what I was seeing. I want to thank you for allowing him to serve us so well. I know that it'll be sorely missed by you. But I can tell you, as this progresses with the co-op, he'll be sorely missed by us too. Or something. Let your heart be your guide. But what could you do to step into the world of this wife without speaking to her in writing? This is a great way to intrinsically validate, to validate her and her children and her husband, who she probably loved with all of her heart, so that she knows somebody in this town appreciated what he has done. That has got to be so valuable to her at this point. Could you be the person who could write that?
Sure.
Absolutely. Wow. Because you don't know. If he had some pathology, he may have had a heart attack without the stress. You know, the stress can help bring on and exacerbate or further complicate that kind of pathology. And so you want to be very careful you don't beat yourself up for, I wish I would have, because maybe that could have changed. Probably not.
Yeah, I agree.
But you saw. You noticed. Step one. What was important to him would have been to hear that. What's important to her is to hear it now. And she's still alive. Would you report back to us next week what you did to serve her?
Sure. I will. Can I ask you a question, Dave?
Certainly.
What can we learn from this event, from this, from what happened to this gentleman here?
Well, I think you may have learned it. You observed. And it's interesting that when you're in a state of intrinsic validation, you're looking for what's important or what's good about a person, and not what's wrong. But you notice the whole town is angry and frustrated and bringing their own inadequacies to the meeting and looking for someone to throw a dart at, an arrow, a spear. Oh, that's a great thing to know. Great lesson to learn. And in the future, when you're prompted, speak boldly. You can turn a meeting around in a few sentences. You know, as I'm looking at this, what I see is a whole year of hard work and a thankless job. I, for one, want to thank you for all the time you spent and how well you've handled this. I don't know that I agree with every decision you've made, but you're better at, you're closer to it than I am. So you want to take those opportunities when you can, because you can impact an entire town when you have those moments. It's like when you hear two people gossiping. It's another example in scroll number 2 where Og says, I will dig for compliments and not scratch for gossip. When you hear people talking about someone who's not present, you don't need to chastise them. All you need to do is smile and tell them something wonderful about that person. Because there's something strange in our society that when one person's criticizing someone, they almost feel like to be accepted, they too must criticize. And so it's like, you know, they're just piling on, and everybody's piling on. The person's not even here to defend themselves. And all of a sudden, here comes Sebastian and says, you know, I had the most interesting experience with that person last week. They came in and did this or said this to me or took care of this thing. And I just think he's a wonderful person. And you watch the entire conversation shift on that one phrase. You can impact a lot, not by judging, but just by being that positive energy. I think people want it more than the negativity. They just feed on each other. It's like a frenzy. So that's another thing you can learn, is to speak boldly, knowing you can impact a lot of people. And two, you're still observing. And as you're stepping into the world of these people, keep stepping deeper. There are a lot of people involved in his life, wife, children, friends. And after having had that experience last week and having died of a heart attack on Saturday, a kind word would just, oh, can you imagine? And you and I could cry together thinking about how she might respond reading something like that from you. And how many times do we think about those kinds of things and then we don't do them? We notice more than we speak, and we notice more than we do. That's our lesson. And what's exciting for you is it's not too late. It's not too late. You still have the right time here on a Tuesday, so early in this process, morning, to send something of such positive energy to bless these lives. Anything else come to mind for you in terms of your experience?
No. No. Thanks. Thanks for the advice. I'll follow it. Sure.
Sebastian, what a beautiful, beautiful experience. Wow. Please report back to us.
I will.
Okay. Thank you. You know, the only challenge with a story like that, people go, well, I thought mine was cool, but I'm not sure I want to share it now. let us feel comfortable. If you felt impressed, if your heart's pounding a little bit, come on out. What happened to you this week? What did you notice? did you say? Who did you give a smile to? Who'd like to come out next? Let's have one more person share. And you'll need to press star 6. Okay, well, the invitation's going to stay open as we have this conversation so that we don't miss any opportunities. I know it can be a little unnerving to come on the phone and talk. But I promise you, having been through this hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times, that every time somebody does, we learn powerful lessons. Yes?
I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, great. I was pushing #6 instead of *6. I don't
Corrine.
Know who's on the... Oh, I wasn't going to say my name, but I feel prompted to share something personal and tender. And Sebastian gave me courage to do that. I think that this is something that so many people go through. And when there is a divorce, sometimes children get caught in the middle, and there's a lot of sometimes parental alienation. And I had a child who has recognized and said to me, "Mom," at the time, and by the way, it didn't talk to me for about 3 months after I had moved out. And it's been a long haul. And but this child of mine said, "Mother, it was most important to me to please Dad and to have things, and now the most important thing in my life is that I know you love me and you appreciate me." And this person's father is not talking with this person. And over some silly thing. It's always silly. Life is too short. And I really have been trying to validate her. And she was crying as she told me what she had discovered and how important it was to her, of the way that I felt about her and always accepted her and never gave up.
Corrine, for those who have family members and they've been either alienated from them or what's the word, disenfranchised?
For
whatever reason, there's been a fight in the family or a petty argument or a jealousy. And what would you say to them in terms of these principles?
Oh, my gosh. I just would say life is way too short not to love and to hold back from anybody your love or the love that they have for you. And it does mean sometimes you have to hear hard things and acknowledge it, sometimes many times, especially with children. But what I would say is never give up, and one day it will come back to you tenfold.
Well, I want you to punctuate this by telling us how long it's been since the divorce.
18 years.
18 years.
Mm-hmm.
So when you say never give up, you have some knowledge of what that means.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
Now, family members where there are challenges, or friends that you've lost due to something like this, the best time to start is immediately. And there's sometimes we say, you know, if they weren't blood, I wouldn't even want to be around them anyway. They wouldn't be a friend. But yet they are blood. They are family. And oh, what great lessons we can learn by loving those who sometimes seem absolutely unlovable. And as you said to us, Corrine, at the end, it's so sweet. It's worth the journey. So thank you for sharing. That's wonderful. Now, I have a question I want to pose to see if anyone had had an experience this week in their business. Eileen had one with a patient, Sebastian with a co-op, and Corrine with a child. That's been a challenge for almost 18 years. Is there, and if everybody could just press star 6 and go back on mute, that would be really helpful. I've got little children in the background. Everybody press star 6, please. Thank you. Is there anyone who, in the course of business this week, where they're going to present a product, and they're very excited to present it, were just a little bit more cautious and careful, and listened a little bit more and asked a few questions, more than they normally would? Was there anyone that had a business experience where they used these principles that would like to share with us? Just press star 6 and come on the line with us. And I'll acknowledge you if I hear you, so you're still probably on mute. Star 6, please.
Hello, Dave.
Yes.
It's Bill Henderson.
Hi, Bill.
Hey, I had a little experience this week. As you know, I got into some pest control and stuff, and I had a guy that's been taking a long time to actually have it. He had trouble with pigeons infesting his house. Or actually, it was a fourplex. And I went over to take a look at it and didn't really try to push the repairs or anything, just let him know what it would take and listen to exactly what he was looking for, and just submitted a bid and really didn't try to push or give him the scare tactics or anything like that, and ended up landing the bid. So just kind of cool how you don't have to throw up on their wall, because they're actually already getting ready to spend money, so they're kind of worried about getting someone that's going to take advantage of them anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Just basically listened to what their needs were and gave them the bid and let them know my background and waited for him. And he's the one that made the decision. But I've found in a lot of instances, I'm doing direct sales, so it's, you really have to just listen more than you speak. So basically, I've seen a huge difference in my business.
What a great lesson. Now, have you ever done it differently than that?
Yeah, but what I like to do is, well, I used to like to, you know, tell them that, hey, if you don't get this taken care of, your roofs are going to start leaking, and pigeons can actually carry diseases and just on and on and on about all the negativity that they can bring. Mm-hmm. Instead of listening to them, because they're going to ask the question that they ask and give them a straight answer. You don't have to scare them into doing it. They already want it. They're the ones that contacted you, so
yeah.
Basically give them what the truth is and let them make the decision.
They want somebody they can trust, right?
Yes, exactly. And another thing, too, sometimes he was thinking about getting into some of the commercial netting, and I told him that I think that that's really overkill, and he didn't need to spend that kind of money. So basically, we could take care of it a lot cheaper. So, I could have said, yes, let's do that, but it's better to kind of give them a little more ideas and let them chew on it for a while. But it took probably about 2 weeks for them to actually, pull the trigger on the job, but basically just give them the information they asked for. Don't try to throw up on them.
And we say 2 weeks. You have the job. If you'd have thrown up, it might have been 2 years. And you still didn't have it.
Yeah. Either that or, Larry's Pest Control would have did it.
Yeah.
You never know.
Well, we've raised an interesting topic for tonight. Let's just make sure everybody got it. That when you honor a human being and you get a question and you answer it and you don't try to oversell them or try to manipulate them or persuade them with some clever statement, when you're honoring them, you're actually building trust. And one of my favorite books, I'm looking at it right now up on my bookshelf, Stephen M. R. Covey's book, The Speed of Trust. He said, when trust is high, speed is fast. If things aren't going well in a business, it's not building as fast as you want, there's probably a good reason for it. People don't trust you. And the very first place you're going to want to look is whether you are throwing up on them because you need it to happen fast, and by doing so, you actually are slowing everything down. It'd be a great place to look. Honor.
You know what's really funny too, Dave?
Yes.
Is that before I was finished with the job, he gave me payment in full. And he didn't know me from the next guy three blocks down the street.
Wow.
Yeah. $850 check. And at that point, I could have walked away.
Hmm. Well, when someone feels validated, the walls come down, don't they?
Yep.
Cooperation floods out. You get jobs and you get checks, and people pay you on time. Now, that's not going to happen every single time. Some people take advantage of you. But that is the status quo, if you will, of the modus operandi, the way it happens when you actually care about people. That's a wonderful story. Bill, how's your family?
Doing well. We're actually getting ready to move in about 2 weeks. We're going to move closer into Phoenix. And it's been a rough year, but, I can honestly say that we're happier than we've ever been. I know we still get bumps in the road and stuff, and I'm trying to get better at doing the intrinsic validation with my family. I know I fall short quite a bit because I've been such in a survival mode lately that I forget to, build the relationships that are important. So, but things have been doing really well. We're actually making more money in the last couple of months than we've had since we got laid off a year and 4 months ago. So it's a pretty cool thing.
That's wonderful. Go give your sweetheart a hug for us.
I will.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, thank you for sharing, Eileen and Sebastian and Corrine and Bill, for sharing that story. That's business. I know many of you are in the direct selling business or even the multi-level marketing business, and there is that sense of urgency about sign up, sign up, sign up. And there's also a point of honoring, and treating people with respect. It's unusual. It's unexpected. And quite often, the reason why people are turned off by that profession is because of people who have thrown up on them. And when you set a different example, you might actually give them an opportunity to take a look at the business differently. And it may be a blessing for them. So don't rob them of the blessing by shortcutting the process. Well, thanks, everyone. Now, before I jump into this next piece, I want to make sure is there anyone else that wants to come out and share this evening? Just press *6 and you'll be here. Okay, well, I want to spend just a minute in a section of the program that's called Partnership, the Ultimate Connection. we've alluded to this, we've discussed it in part, and it's a couple of examples of things for us to take a look at. Number one, there is a power greater than ourselves, and I know some people might get uncomfortable with this discussion, but I would ask you just for a moment to set aside any anxieties or fears or prejudices about this process of a higher power, and just ask yourself, is there one? Is there one? And if there is, what name do you assign to that power? It's been my experience that that power doesn't have an ego. And what is that power's primary mission? It's been my experience that its mission is to bless the lives of people with joy and abundance. And the secret is that when we align our mission with the mission of that power, we now have a partner. And that partner can assist us in building marvelous, wonderful things and building our businesses and our lives. Now, there's a couple other partnerships I want to talk about. One is called a loving partnership, a loving relationship. Now, before I go into this, there is a caution. And the caution is that not everybody is in a loving relationship. And sometimes these loving relationships can be, non-loving relationships can be abusive. And I want to make sure that before we go into this, that everyone understand that what I'm about to share with you does not apply in a relationship where there is abuse. A loving relationship is required for these principles. Now, that doesn't mean it's perfect. There can be some challenges, but we want you to be able to know that if you're in an abusive relationship, it's important that you seek help from someone who's got that kind of experience, who can assist you, whether it be a pastor or a therapist or even the law enforcement. And as I share this again, don't feel obligated to apply these principles if you're in a partnership that is not a loving relationship. Now, as we go into a loving relationship, there's a couple of things I want to share with you. And this is right out of the material. It says, are you married, engaged, involved in a budding relationship, or just interested in finding that one true love? If so, consider the following. This relationship is or will also become a partnership. Intrinsic validation needs to start with those closest to us. And most of us have friends and committed companions, spouses, not all, but somewhere in those areas. And a loving relationship is an opportunity for us to be able to work in partnership. Now, partnership is not a unilateral process. Unilateral means that one person's making the decisions. This is tough for some guys to grasp. But a partnership is bilateral. It's equal. No one is the head of. It's a partnership. And when we catch that vision, and we look at our partners, and I'm going to speak from a guy's perspective a little bit tonight, we start to discover some real challenges. I know that I've been to a theater, for an example, and I'm sitting there with Ramona, and I see a guy walking up the stairs, his wife kind of in tow, she's trying to keep up. And he sits down, walks, you know, down the aisle, sits down the middle, and she kind of finally catches up and sits down. And it's as if he's trying to say, you know, she used to be beautiful, but she's not anymore. I'm available. Anybody interested? Aren't I handsome? Then you watch the man who walks just a little bit behind his wife with a gentle hand on her waist. This is my queen. This is my one and only. I talked to a man recently who travels a great deal, and he says, I've never had any temptation. I've never had a woman even approach me inappropriately, and he's a very handsome, dynamic speaker. And we were talking about this, and he says, because somehow in the way I talk and the way I act, even when my bride is not with me, every woman in that room knows that my heart, all of my heart, belongs to her. All of it. Total. 100% commitment. So as we're talking about intrinsic validation, if you have a companion, a committed companion, this is a place you want to start, where we begin the process of lifting and building, of cherishing, adoring, in which we would never, ever want to say anything that would be cutting or harmful, ever. Now, if you have been in that pattern, it may take a little while to get out of it. But I do want you to know it's available. And it's miraculous what happens in a marriage relationship or a committed companionship when the words that are spoken are solely to build and lift. Even when something goes wrong, the last thing you'd ever want to do is hurt or harm. Ramona tells a couple of stories in the material I shared. We had gone to a family event, and Ramona came back with her nephew and two of their friends. And Ramona was sitting in the passenger seat, and they stopped the car, and the three guys jumped out and started to walk away. Ramona always waits for me to open the door. It's not that she's weak. She allows me to adore her and to honor her as my queen. And one of the boys turned to the other and said, I think she's waiting for you to open the door. And the other one said, we're not on a date. Interesting thought. She contrasted that with an experience where one of my sons, happened to be my son Danny, one of his roommates from college came by. And he was in the family room of our home talking with my son, and Ramona walked into the room, and he stood. Ramona said she felt so honored. She wanted to call that young man's mother and thank her for teaching him to be so respectful. Now, guys, if you're like me, and I'm speaking to the guys for a moment, we sometimes just blow it. I was sitting at the office one night, and I was writing, and I wrote this poem called The Ladder that's in the material I'd like to share with you tonight. It says, at times, I'm frustrated, angry, annoyed. If Ramona here were here, she would be chuckling. At times I'm depressed and can't fill the void. At times I'm tired of working so hard every day. At times I'm withdrawn and have nothing to say. At times I feel ill from living in fear. At times I feel inferior, uncertain, unclear. At times I feel insignificant, a dead fly on the floor. At times I feel impoverished, left wanting for more. At times I'm overconfident, overindulgent, and loud. At times I'm complacent, lazy, and thoughtlessly proud. At times I'm wealthy, at least as worldly things go. At times I'm undoubtedly the star of the show. Then there are times when my awareness is heightened, that agape love. I climb out of the maze and my eyes are enlightened. Oh, the price that is paid to live life next to me. May I climb up the ladder would encourage everyone, if you have a close friend or a child, especially if it's somebody that occasionally irritates you, that this week we're going to take intrinsic validation to a very personal, deep level. We're going to step into that person's world. We're going to see what it's like to be them in a relationship with us. And we're going to choose to show up differently. Now, what's interesting is some people say, will I be acting? That's not my true self. That's not who I am. And I say, that's not true. That might be the way your thoughts want you to be. And you may, as Og has said, surrendered your free will to those accumulated habits. And those past deeds of your life may have already threatened to imprison your future. Yes? But stepping back and choosing to act and be different is not acting. It's called awareness. It's seeing another human being and seeing how what I do impacts them and choosing to act differently. This is a huge form of intrinsic validation. It's stepping into their world and seeing what they need from me and showing up that way. Can you feel this? Oh, this is a whole lot more than just seeing what's important to them and verbalizing it or listening for a door and stepping into their world and creating a safe place. This actually creates tremendous change inside our own soul. When we make the decision to care enough about another human being that we will step into their world, see how our behavior is negatively impacting them, and consciously choose to act differently. There's not a greater gift that we can give to someone close to us. That's really who we are. We're the one who can step back and be aware. That's the real you. Isn't that a wonderful thing to know? That's the real you. If we want a better partnership, especially in a loving relationship, it may be time for us to become a better partner. Innuendo, sarcasm, humor, deadly, deadly. They're really just manipulative ways of hiding feelings and thoughts. Second of all, we do not need to express everything we think. Matter of fact, we're often better off not doing it. But we choose not to, because not because we're giving up on ourselves or surrendering our value, because we're actually seeing the value in another and choosing not to destroy them. And lastly tonight, one of the most difficult topics in partnership, and one of the most destructive of all, is when a partner does anything to look upon another person lustfully. There is a huge difference between love, where we're willing to give, and lust, where we only want to take. In a relationship, we want to ask ourselves, am I a giver or am I a taker? Giver or taker? The most pervasive, destructive, difficult methods by which this is done is pornography. This is not a religious discussion. This is a reality of what is actually happening in our country, the impact that pornography has on the mind, and its destructive effects in a relationship. We talked about trust. Trust is essential in a relationship, and there is nothing that destroys trust any faster than when someone's eyes are wandering. I'm going to just read something to you. The quality of connecting with people requires that we become partners with a power that governs abundance and bringing abundance to the lives of others. This may require holding our negative life experiences in a different way, engraving them on our hearts and owning them instead of dragging them behind us, so we are emotionally available to a partner. When we make the commitment to be a partner, we will be given clarity. We will know what needs to be done. We will create deep and lasting relationships. We'll be more focused and productive, creating different results in our own lives and the lives of others. Most importantly, we will create lasting, loving relationships for the ones we love the most. All of our qualities of becoming an intentional creator rest on the quality of connecting with people. If for any reason you have been attracted to pornography and you're in what should be a loving relationship, from the bottom of my soul, I would plead with you to set it aside. If the addiction is deep and heavy, it may require professional intervention. But in the end, the cure to pornography addiction is simply this. I place my eyes on my loved one. They receive all of my passion, all of my love, all of my intimacy. I adore them with all of my heart. I will look no place else for the rest of my life. This is the person I have committed my life to in every way. No trap doors, no safety nets, no what ifs, no open for possibilities. Absolutely not. Totally, 100% committed. When we do this commitment, when something comes across the internet, we hit the delete button easily. We are not tempted. We don't become lustful, seeking to satisfy our needs. We begin to focus on satisfying the needs of the one we love. It is amazing how beautiful a person can become and continue to be increasingly beautiful when it is the only place we are looking. I want to tell you again from the bottom of my heart, there is nothing more precious on this planet than to feel that way about another. And through that commitment, develop trust. And with that trust, intimacy. That is partnership. I would encourage us all to look upon our lives. If we're single, seeking a relationship, root this out of your life. It'll be very hard to find the person you're looking for looking here. Airbrush photos and bizarre behavior does not create a partnership. I can't speak about this strongly enough. When I do assessments and work with coaching clients, this is so pervasive, so widespread, it's everywhere. And we try to convince ourselves it's somehow okay. Yet you look into the eyes of a tender wife who's just discovered their husband in the act of viewing pornography, and you tell me what's real. There too many. And men are not the only ones. I know this, ladies. We're not the only ones that can be attracted to this. But I'm speaking from a male's perspective tonight. Men, the women in our lives deserve honor and respect. May we begin to be examples of this. Because when you are this way with those you're with, if you're single, when you're dating, when you're committed, continues. When you're married, continues. Something magical happens in your life. Unspeakable. Precious. We also know that in addition to this challenge, we bring into a relationship anger, criticism, the need to be right. All of these pieces, all deadly, all deadly. So in short, and in closing, as we're working on intrinsic validation, validating the most priceless, unique part of a human being by listening to them, let us not be more effective doing that with people we don't know while we are destroying those with whom we should love the most. Let us this week, friends, family, committed companions, spouses, let us consciously be aware. Let us step into their world and find out what they need, and let us show up in their service. Let us put away petty fights from the past and bitterness, and be the catalyst to make the change. Now you know why. Before I started this discussion, I said, if you're in an abusive relationship, these rules don't apply. You would never want to subject yourself in an abusive situation. So if that's occurring, please seek assistance immediately. But in all other circumstances, let us be the ambassadors of goodness. Let us be the catalyst that changes the feelings in a relationship. Let us be the example by courageously examining our own behavior and making whatever changes are necessary to show up in the service of another, knowing that we are not denying who we really are. We're finally becoming who we really are. No longer surrendering our free will to accumulated habits of thinking that have threatened to imprison our future. Well, thank you for allowing me to go here tonight. This is such a tender issue. But I speak from one who knows. There's hardly a guy who hasn't been touched by some of these things. May we set a different example in this society where the human being is being so disvalued. May we be the one that shows honor and respect. Now we've gone over 4 minutes. Before we close this session, is there anyone who's got a feeling or a thought that they feel that they would like to share with this group? Please come off of mute. If there's anyone that would like to share. Okay. Well, my prayer is I have not offended anyone. I just want to inspire you, breathe life into you, to be all that you can be, all that you are. And let us intrinsically validate those with whom we come in contact this week, especially those closest to us. Now, in preparation for next week I would like you to listen to Goals and Expectations. We're going to start talking about how we use our mind. We spend most of our day in our mind. Sebastian told us a story that was so amazing tonight with all this negativity. No one's seeing the good of this person. Can you imagine where people's minds have been all day? Have they been in constructive thought? Have they been mentally rehearsing and seeking inspiration? If there's anyone I can serve, put them on my path and I'll serve them. Have they been exploring, planning, goal setting, problem solving? or if they've been spending their day in fear and frustration and confusion and catastrophizing, where do you think they've been if they showed up like that at the co-op meeting? Oh, my goodness, I can tell you that the majority of human beings are spending their time in their mind, which is the majority of the time they spend in the day, in very destructive behavior. And they wonder why they're not creating their dreams. Well, next week we're going to go into those thought processes and begin to explore how we can use them effectively in such a way that we can connect and receive divinely inspired ideas, impressions, and solutions to problems that will ignite our passion, passion that will drive our action in the tangible creation of our dreams. This is going to be such a key part, and intrinsic validation is a big piece of it, because this is like a graduated version as we start to explore these possibilities. Sebastian, as you were sharing with me tonight, that's where I was. You'll read about it this week. You'll listen to it. I was mentally rehearsing, and I saw you delivering a letter to that man's wife and children. I could see her reading it, devastated from the behavior of that group last week, and a terminal heart attack on Saturday. And there is a man who cared enough to express gratitude. I could feel it. I could see it in my mind. That's what we want to do, is live in that space. If we're going to be in our mind, let us be in constructive thought only, so we're not spending any time in catastrophe. Oh, can we create some amazing things when we stay there? So listen to it this week. If you've got a coaching program with a coach, you've got access to the practicums. You've got access to the transcription. You can download that and read along and take some notes. This is one of the great challenges we face as human beings in this society today. We're going to take it on next week. Well, thanks, everyone. We look forward to our conversation next week on how to constructively use our mind and ignite our passion. Good night, everyone. Thank you.